Blog Talk Radio.
Come now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotus Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason, and otherworldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdotus Radio. It is good to be back after the summer break. Not too many children out there are happy because they had to go back to school, but that's unfortunate because I personally love school and miss it, even from elementary, junior high school, and of course college. Had many good times and many interesting times during these different stages of life, which is what makes life fun. But we had to come back to reality. Labor Day just passed, and now we're in fall. The weather's changing, and we just had to continue life. For this episode, I just wanted to just speak on different things, not really sit down on a specific topic, but I figured let's do a little recap of the summer, what happened in the summer. First of all, my nephew graduated. I just want to congratulate him. He graduated back in May. Very proud of him. And looking forward to hear more good things of his education as he matures. And other than that, in June we had an interesting story going on throughout the world, which broke the internet, so to speak, and it had to do with Harambe, the gorilla that was killed. And social media has been in an uproar, and in many cases still in an uproar, even though the Harambe is not trendy, but all over the place you see memes and other kinds of things. People bring up Harambe to make jokes and whatnot. But for those who are not familiar with Harambe and the whole fuzz, Harambe was a gorilla, like I said, in Cincinnati, in the zoo of Cincinnati, and he was shot dead in order to rescue a 4-year-old boy. And what happened was this young boy slipped through a barrier and fell into a pit where the gorillas are held in captivity. And of course everyone panicked. And zoo officials, they managed to get two female gorillas away from the boy, but one 17-year-old gorilla, a male gorilla, did not follow instructions or commands from the zoo officials. And this gorilla, the 17-year-old, was named Harambe, and he approached the 4-year-old boy, towered over the boy at one point, and then proceeded to drag the boy through water from one location to another, just a few feet away. And from there, Harambe was just observing the young boy, who was obviously scared out of his wits and crying. And to some people, it looked like he was actually holding him by his pants, like helping him get up or trying to take care of him. He obviously was not pounding on the boy or whatnot. He was actually just looking at the boy and helping him get on his feet and whatnot. Shortly after this, zoo officials shot Harambe, killing him, and then they rescued the boy. The boy, he had a couple of scrapes and a concussion, obviously, because he was being dragged through the concrete. And a few days later, he was released. But animal activists and others are calling for the parents to be charged. Now, they weren't charged, of course. Months later, the police in Cincinnati did not pressing charges against the parents and whatnot. And unfortunately, other people made a big deal of the whole situation. Some made racial remarks because the boy was African American, and saying all kinds of disgusting things, that since the boy was African American, the gorilla thought it was another gorilla. I mean, just horrible things that are, it's embarrassing to even speak about in 2016. It's just amazing that this ignorance still exists in America and in the world. Well, over 100,000 people signed a petition online demanding an investigation and the prosecution of the parents. And of course, the investigation was done already. But as I stated before, the parents were not charged or nothing will happen with the parents. And the Sioux is on the fire now for killing the silverback gorilla, which is an endangered species. Those upset with the killing are upset because they feel that the killing of the gorilla was unnecessary. They wonder why a tranquilizer was not used, and Sioux officials said that a tranquilizer will take about 10 minutes to kick in, and the dart will have angered Harambee. I mean, imagine if somebody shoots you with a dart, you're not going to be smiling about it. So if you get upset if somebody shoots you with a dart, imagine a gorilla. I mean, how many of us would get upset if we get hit by a spitball? So try to see it from that perspective. It makes sense. And of course, an angry gorilla is not a good thing for the young boy, because he would have taken his anger out on the boy, completely pulverized the boy. And gorillas are very strong animals. I mean, you do not have to get into a cage with them and wrestle with them to figure that out. They can easily deadlift about 2,000 pounds without effort. And they can tear a grown man over 6 feet apart piece by piece, or easily crush him by pounding on him or whatnot. Had Harambee been tranquilized, he could have torn the boy apart, or with one pound of his hand would have left the boy crushed into a pulp. So a majority of the experts, in fact all of the experts from what I have read, agree that killing the gorilla was the only option to save the boy. Now the story is sad, of course, not only for the boy and his family, but also for Harambee and the gorilla. Harambee did not ask to be held in the zoo. No animals are. He did not ask to be entertainment for human beings who are cousins of his species, because we are related to gorillas. We are all hominids. We're part of the same family. Gorillas and humans share about 98% DNA. 98%. That's a lot. It is extraordinary to even contemplate this. We are so different, yet so similar, genetically and physically speaking. However, human life has more value than a gorilla because they are rational beings with souls. Now, some people might disagree with that, but we have to be realistic. A gorilla most likely is not going to protect a human being or figure out how to protect him or herself. However, a human being with a good heart will figure out how to protect the gorilla and him or herself. So human beings have this ability to care, not only for its own self, its own species, but also other species. Now granted, there's people out there that kill for fun and abuse animals, and that's just disgusting, it's evil, in my opinion, and I'm sure many of you listening to me agree with that. Animals are animals, and we cannot complain when they attack us because we went into their territory. I mean, they're just defending their territory. How many of us would defend our home if we see a burglar or somebody coming in? So an animal is not going to smile while a human being who they see as another animal. We have to remember that. Animals see human beings as animals, as another organism, because they do not have that capacity, at least that we know of, to really understand that the human being is a little bit more advanced, at least cognitive speaking, because physically speaking, there's other species that could really kick our behinds. As I stated before, the gorillas could really do a number on a human being, And no bodybuilder, no wrestler can ever defeat a gorilla head on, hand-to-hand combat. Now, this doesn't mean that gorillas do not have value. Of course not. I'm not saying that at all. We must ensure that these creatures survive on Earth. Remember in the scripture, God gave command to Adam and Eve to take care of all creation. And again, they are our cousins in nature. So we had to care for them. What troubles me is the response that some animal activists who seem to have preferred that the boy perish instead of the gorilla. And that's just scary that some people out there actually believe that the boy should have gotten killed, not the gorilla. I mean, a four-year-old boy, it's just ridiculous. These people, they come with these crazy ideas. This is sad indeed and shows the warped views circulating around in society. Now, these views come mainly from philosopher Peter Singer, who advocates for animal equality. He believes that humans and non-human animals are the same. These ideas are presented as rational, but when one analyzes them carefully, one can see that they are nonsensical and irrational. Yes, humans are animals too. I concede to that fact. But humans are different. Humans have the capacity to save other species. Gorillas do not, like I stated just a few minutes ago. This puts the human in a higher category than other non-human animals. I'm sad that Harambee is dead, of course. Many of us are. In fact, from the video I saw, it seems as if Harambee was actually pretending a boy. Nevertheless, Harambee was a savage animal. Unpredictable. This is evident in how he dragged the boy, causing the boy to bash his head several times on the concrete. Harambee could not distinguish between being gentle or rough. He did not have that capacity. If gorillas had this capacity, they could easily organize and attack human beings, like in the Planet of the Apes movie. I think an investigation should be made at the zoo to figure out why the gorilla's sanctuary was not secure. Why and how did the boy get into this area? As to whether the parents had to blame, only the cameras and the surveillance in the zoo can really prove this. Accidents do happen, and kids do wander off, even with the most vigilant of parents. And of course, it is just impossible to lock down children 24 hours, 7 days a week. In my opinion, I think they should have just fined the parents if they really found any blame that could be warranted with these parents, and use that fine to help cover the costs related to Harambee's death and so forth. Now, another big news that happened in the summer was the death of the quote-unquote great one. Muhammad Ali passed away. He was 74 years old. And as many of you know, he was a great boxer. He was born Cassius Clay, and he was suffering from Parkinson's disease, the same disease that made St. Pope John Paul II suffer a lot during the latter years of his papacy. Muhammad Ali was very controversial. He was very sassy. He was very arrogant and whatnot. But deep down, he seemed like a good person who always loved to help others, and he joked around a lot and so forth. And I think he had to have that personality, because at the time, African Americans were not really respected that much. And when he started coming around as a famous boxer, the problems were racism, Dr. King, and the struggle, the civil rights movement was still fresh. So there was still that animosity between some whites and some blacks. So Muhammad Ali had to present himself as somebody that was strong, that was vocal, that was a leader, and so forth, as opposed to what some felt African American is supposed to be. Basically docile or obedient or uneducated and whatnot. So I guess he tried to break that stereotype and present himself as somebody that's strong. And we saw that with Reggie Jackson from the New York Yankees, who was very outspoken, a loud mouth, if you will. And again, my opinion is that he had to be that way in order to garner some kind of respect in sports. Unfortunately, due to the problems with race relations and the whole situation and whatnot. So, to Muhammad Ali, may he rest in peace, and may God forgive his sins and have mercy on him. And we need to pray for his soul. He died a Muslim, so we're not sure. We cannot guess where he ended up, but we had to pray for, in this year of mercy, pray for his soul, that hopefully God forgives sins, and perhaps he's in purgatory making up for his sins, and pray that, and God have mercy on him, and hopefully looked to the other way, that he was a Muslim and whatnot, because obviously the Muslims, we all pray to the same God. But Muhammad Ali was obviously in error with the faith, because Islam is a heresy. And of course, I'm not saying this to offend any Muslim, but we have to be realistic in regards to the historicity of Christianity, the Catholic Church, and so forth, and the place of Islam in the timeline. Another big news that happened in the summer was a Catholic church was attacked in Normandy, France. Two youths, Adele Carmiche and an unnamed one, who pledged allegiance to the radical Islamic group ISIS, entered a Catholic church in Normandy and slit the throat of an 84-year-old priest, Father Jacques Hamel, and injured a nun. They interrupted the 9 a.m. Mass and took participants hostage for an hour. Father Jacques Hamel was made to kneel before the altar. He tried to defend himself, according to a nun who gave her witness account, before he was killed. The youth then said something in Arabic around the altar before they were shot dead by authorities. And in a statement, Archbishop Dominic Lebrun said, "I cry out to God with all men of goodwill, and I invite all non-believers to unite with this cry. The Catholic Church has no other arms besides prayer and fraternity between men." End quote. This attack shows that ISIS is active and well and is targeting churches without fear. More needs to be done to prevent attacks, in my opinion. In my opinion, Father Jacques Hamel died a martyr. May he rest in peace. And as Catholics, we are called to forgive our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We are not enemies for Islam. Islam is not the problem. The problem is this hateful rhetoric that's instilled in these young people by these Islamic groups. So something has to be done, especially among the Muslims themselves. These imams have to really step it up and root out these young people or these people in their mosques who they may see as acting too religious in a sense. And what I mean by that is that they present themselves as fanatical, because when somebody gets fanatical, that could be very problematic, and you have to really watch out for people like that. There may be something going on in their head that is not holy and not psychologically sound. So Father Jacques, I mean, he was a hero. He defended himself. He went out with a fight. So good for him, and may God bless his soul, and hopefully we'll get to see him canonized, because in my opinion, he died a martyr, and that makes him an automatic saint. Another big news in the Catholic world is Mark Shea was fired from National Catholic Register. And news was traveling around the Catholic blogosphere that apologist Mark Shea was fired from EWTN-owned National Catholic Register. Apparently, the NCR had enough of Shea's commentaries, which often attacked traditionalists and right-wingers both within and without the church. Shea was also critical of pro-life advocates who defended the right to life for the unborn while promoting the right to bear arms, and also just war theory, the death penalty, and ignoring other social issues which are part of the seamless garment idea. He and pro-life advocate John Simirak have been in sort of a online block view. Shay is a convert from agnosticism and evangelicalism. He has been featured on EWTN many times and has authored books on apologetics. His site and Patheos at the time did not mention the release of his contract or his release from the paper, but the NCR site removed any main mentions of him. But still, you do a search engine, some of his articles still show up, which is interesting. Some Catholic blogs out there are stating that Shay is blaming his firing on the NCR's need to keep Trump supporters and anti-Pope Francis enthusiasts happy so they could donate to their company. So he's saying that the whole thing was involving keeping a certain faction of donators happy so that they can continue donating to the paper. So that's the situation with him. I wish him well. He can be a bit rash sometimes in his judgments, but I mean, he's entitled to his free speech. He does do a good job with apologetics, but we have to see what happens. We are all human, and we all make mistakes. So we have to pray for Mark Shay. I'm sure he has enough to keep going. He makes enough money to sustain his livelihood. But hopefully he will find another job and continue. Hopefully this is a lesson for him. If it's supposed to be a lesson, only God knows, and we wish him well. And other news in Boston, we have new bishops. And Cardinal Sean O'Malley announced that Holy Father Pope Francis named Reverend Mark O'Connell and Reverend Robert P. Reed as auxiliary bishops, and they were ordained to the episcopacy on August 24th, 2016 at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston, Massachusetts. And I was honored to help promote it. Catholic TV approached me via email asking me if I was willing to help promote this event, and of course was happy to oblige and help out with that. So congratulations to both bishops, Robert P. Reed and Mark O'Connell, and we'll be praying for you guys. And I guess lastly, because my minutes are running out here, my time, I should say, there was an attack in New York City and also in New Jersey. First in New Jersey, a pipe bomb exploded in a dumpster or trash can on the route of a planned race of which was supposed to benefit Marines. Well, the race was canceled, thank God, and the people did not get to run near the area, so nobody was hurt, but still the whole thing put everybody on edge. And as the day was going on, people didn't think much of it. They figured it was just somebody put something there, but obviously, I mean, who puts a pipe bomb unless you're trying to terrorize? But then hours later, around 8 o'clock at night on 23rd Street in Chelsea in Manhattan, New York City, a dumpster exploded, injuring several people and destroyed some windows and property around the area. And then a couple of streets from there, on 27th Street, another bomb was found. A pressure cooker was found with wires sticking out and a cell phone taped to it. Immediately, Mayor de Blasio said that it was an intentional act, which he got a lot of heat for, because, I mean, well, yes, somebody putting a bomb is an intentional act, but the motivation is obviously terrorist. I mean, you do not need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Well, he wanted to label the whole incident as an intentional act. I mean, it really does not say much. So he got a lot of heat, a lot of mockery on social media over that, and I think it was very poor choice of words on his behalf, on his part. And later on, Cuomo and others came and corrected the whole situation by calling it a terrorist attack, which is what it was. Well, the next day, on Monday, September 19th, it was announced on television and also on the emergency broadcast system on the telephone that they were looking for this individual that was connected to the explosion in both New Jersey and Chelsea. And this person was Ahmad Khan Rahami. And immediately all cell phones from New York were ringing with text messages, with emergency messages, saying that you see this person to call the FBI, call the NYPD, and so forth. And my cell phone, since this was purchased in New York City, I got the same message, and I also tweeted the image of the emergency message that I got to on Twitter, so everybody could see what was going on. Well, there was a big manhunt. Everybody was looking for this guy, and eventually he was discovered at a bar. He was sleeping on the step, and when the bar owner came, he saw this guy sleeping there, and he was wondering who this is, if this person is drunk or not. And he recognized the person. He said, wait a minute, this is the guy that's on the news. It's all over the place that they're looking for him. So he called the police. The police came. They approached the man, and the man started opening fire. And one police officer was shot in the abdomen, but thank God he had a vest on, a bulletproof vest, so he wasn't too seriously injured. And another other officer, he got shrapnel or a piece of glass stuck in his forehead or his face, which, again, is nothing minor. He didn't die. Both were released from the hospital, thank God. The suspect, he was shot a couple times, 7 times, I believe, and he was taken down. He was not killed, but he was taken down. He was arrested. And as I speak, he's recovering in the hospital, and they're investigating, trying to get information out of him to see what happened. But apparently he was radicalized. He went to the Middle East and came back, started acting super religious, super fanatical, if you will, and bought these materials and made these bombs in order to cause harm. Now, thank God, nobody was injured seriously. In New York City, the bomb, about 20-something people were injured, but that was basically because of shrapnel. They got stuck into their skin, or they fell and they hurt themselves when they're trying to get away. Those kinds of injuries. Nobody was killed, thank God. So, but it still is alarming because in the post-9/11 world, we still have to deal with these kinds of attacks, and we have to pray and hope that something happens to prevent any future attacks. And this has to be a wake-up call to the government. So anybody out there in any state, not just New York State, and if you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. Do not keep things to yourself. You see somebody leave a package somewhere, immediately call the police, say something. You overhear somebody talking on the phone or having a conversation with somebody else saying that they're going to blow something up or kill somebody or something suspicious, tell the police. It could be a matter of life and death, and you could save lives. And in New Jersey, I want to add that there another bomb was found in Elizabeth, and it was found by homeless people. And thank God for this homeless person. He said something, and now he was rewarded. He got a free apartment, and people donated hundreds of thousands of dollars, or $29,000, I believe. And people are offering him a job. So thank God for that he spoke out and he got rewarded for it. So thank you for listening. Again, I'm glad to be back. Sacerdotes Radio. God bless and Mary keep. And enjoy the rest of the week.